Hello and welcome to the February 2024 edition of Roundabout, the Dawlish and Tynemouth area Talking Newspapers monthly magazine. I'm Camilla Taylor. I'm sorry to have to inform you that our erstwhile contributor Aileen Clarkson, better known to you as the author of our Letters from a Dog Walker, sadly passed away on the 23rd of January. She contributed numerous items for this programme over many years. She will be terribly missed. Jenny Jenkins will be giving a tribute to her later in this programme. Here is what we have in store for you this month. John Townsend will be in conversation with Lucy Barillon. I will be reading out 20 quiz questions. Valerie Forrester will be reading a poem about willows. Mary MacDonald and Stephen Taylor will be discussing a book they have read recently. Jenny Jenkins will be giving a tribute to Aileen Clarkson. Norma Orty will be reading her story entitled The University of Life. Valerie Forrester will be reading an article about Shalden Zoo. Fran Frank will be reading an article about the theft of several toilets. David Picton will be reading his poem entitled Time Tells Tall Tales. Ninon Jerome will be reading her story entitled The Agent. I will be back with the answers to the quiz questions, and we will conclude the programme with a piece of music.
Hello, it's John Townsend here with another of my Performing Arts Devon dialogues, where I have the privilege of chatting with musicians, actors, singers, and theatrical directors who work both locally and further afield. Local Dawlish lass, Lucy Barillon, has popped into the studio straight from Exeter College, where, among other things, she studies drama, has just performed in Mother Goose at the Shaftesbury Theatre, and recently appeared on the BBC. It's the first time we've had anyone here who was on Spotlight on stilts. Welcome, Lucy.
Hi.
Before you tell us about your exciting life as a seaside entertainer, let's go back to when you first performed on the stage. Dare I ask how old you were and what it might have been, and maybe how old you are now. I'm not supposed to ask a lady's age, but I'm sure you'll tell us. So, yeah.
I believe I was 3 years old when I first performed on the stage.
Wow.
And I was doing a ballet solo.
Ah, was that in Dawlish?
No, I think it was in the Tynemouth Theatre.
Ah, okay, the old theatre.
The old one, yeah.
So you were obviously destined to... You've had dancing lessons, haven't you?
Yes, I did ballet from the ages of 3 till 17.
Ah.
And I'm now 18.
Yeah, okay. And I think you... Well, in Mother Goose, in the Shaftesbury, you were a dancer in that this time. And I have to say, the previous year, you were Robin Hood.
Yeah, I was.
You're the principal boy. And I've not actually forgiven you because we did have a sword fight and you beat me up and threw me, because I was the Sheriff of Nottingham, the nasty Sheriff of Nottingham. You beat me up, threw me into the dungeon. So I've never really forgiven you for that. But anyway, enough of that. Tell us, at the moment you're doing drama A-level.
Yes, so I do drama A-level at Exeter College. Mm-hmm. I'm in my second year, so I've already done my AS level.
Yeah.
So this year our exam consists of 3 parts.
Okay.
One of which being a written exam, where we study 3 set plays.
Yeah.
And then 2 physical theatres, one that's scripted work, that's naturalistic.
Yeah.
And one where we have to do a devised piece, where we choose one of our favourite practitioners and have to dedicate our work to the style that that practitioner or theatre style is.
I see. And how long do you have to prepare that? Do they limit the amount of time?
Yes. So our exams are in the end of March and we start in January.
Right. Is it going all right?
Yes, not going too badly so far.
So what set plays are you doing then?
So for the written?
Yep.
Love and Information by Carol Churchill.
Uh-huh.
Then there's Mashonal by Sophie Treadwell.
Wow.
And The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Night Time.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
By Mark Haddon.
Yeah. Have you seen the production of that?
No, but I'd love to.
Yeah.
I've seen Masha Now.
Right, okay. Good, good. So you're enjoying the course?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, I want to go back to this last summer when you were on Spotlight and you were going around, I think, Tynmouth, Exmouth, was it? And Exeter and Dawlish doing, well, I it's not exactly street theatre, but I suppose promenade or beach theatre, is that right?
Yes, so the company I worked with was called Promenade Promotions.
Mm-hmm.
And my street name was Penny Plonk, Penelope Plonk.
And what did you have to do, apart from wear stilts?
Oh, wow, there was so many things. We did short routines,
yeah.
Just general interactions with the public, stilt walking circus skills such as juggling and hula hooping.
Whoa, so how many when you were juggling, how many items were you hurling in the air at once?
Okay, only three, but in my defence, I was also hula hooping at the same time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. And what were you dressed as or like?
So, it was kind of had the vibe that I'd just been dragged off the streets.
Uh-huh.
So, kind of makeshift clothing and like bits and pieces from random places.
Right. And how did the audiences react? I imagine people probably heckled a bit.
Yeah. We had a lot of heckling.
And that was good. You enjoyed
a lot of people
that?
Embarrassed, ducking away from
really?
Us.
Really? Did you actually approach members of the public and try to rope them into?
Oh yeah, of course, all the time.
So they were getting a bit embarrassed. Also, some were probably very good, actually.
Yeah. All mixed responses.
And, you did that in Dawlish as well, you say?
Yeah, Dawlish, Exeter, Tynmouth.
Yeah, and would you do it again?
Oh, I have 100%. I'll do it again.
Yeah, yeah. So it was a success. And
how
long did you do it? All through the summer holiday?
So over the summer we had a 2 week intensive training course in I think it was the beginning no it was the end of July, then the whole of August we had various gigs, and that like covered the entire traineeship.
Yes,
but since the traineeship I have actually worked with the company again as my own act, not being a trainee person.
And what is your own act?
So my own act was being my character Penny Plonk.
But
by myself, without anyone else with me.
Right, and what do you do as Penny Plonk, apart from juggle and...
So, for the one gig I did have by myself, I was in Exeter City Centre, and it was part of the Christmas festive season.
Okay.
So there were so many different street performers out.
Yeah,
so
okay.
I was doing a workshop on hula hoops with little children for that one, and juggling and just generally interacting and spreading
Fantastic.
Christmas cheer.
Good. Oh, well, that's good. You've done other professional work, I believe. You were telling me earlier about...
I've also worked with the company Hot Rocks.
Where is that based?
So all over, but the places I've been with them is I worked at Camel Creek, which is a family theme park in Cornwall.
Oh, right.
Over the Halloween period, where I was Trixie Trudy.
Wow. Were you a baddie?
Yes, I was.
Oh, right.
I was more creepy and like cuckoo, because I was for the younger children who were too scared to go into the haunted house.
Wow, okay. And there's another company, I think you were saying, no? In North Devon, you... might be going to work.
That's also with Hot Rocks, and that's
it's them as well.
Yeah, that's something that's up in the air at the moment, but they said they're looking for an events manager or kind of artistic creator and giving ideas for, I think it's called the Big Sheep, and it's up in North Devon, another family theme park.
Oh, wow.
So they're hoping to get me up for the coming seasons.
Yeah, and it's professional because you get paid. So you've been paid to perform.
I know, it's crazy.
Yeah,
it's insane.
Your A-levels finish in the summer, so you're doing drama and something else?
Yes, drama, psychology and sociology.
Wow. So when you finish that and you finish celebrating, what do you hope to do next year?
So there's this course that I'm particularly keen on, and it's called Drama and Psychology.
Mm-hmm.
They offer it at Bath Spa University.
Yes.
So it's where I can study both drama and psychology alongside each other.
And
hopefully reaching an end goal of maybe a drama therapist or something
that
around
sounds
that.
Sounds fascinating. And performing in the holidays as your alter egos.
Oh, of course, all the time.
Plonk and the other one.
Original character.
Lucy, we could talk all day, but I think we're coming to the end of our slot. And I'm going to ask you to choose a piece of music to finish with. Now, all the pantomimes you've been in, I know you've been, you can quote all of them and the characters and the songs and everything.
I
just forget them. What would you like to choose to finish with?
So, John, in honour of you, I am going to choose a song that I believe you sang in the pantomime Tarzan when you were the dame.
Right.
It is okay. Grace Kelly by Mika.
Right. Well, only if you sing along with it.
Good luck.
Well, thanks so much. We'll listen to that. Who knows where you will... Maybe you'll come back and talk to us again when you started your career or you're at uni and doing
exciting
things. So thank you so much for coming. I'll hand over to Mika.
Thank you.
I want to talk to you.
The last time we talked, Mr. Smith, you reduced me to tears. I promise you it won't happen again.
Do I attract you? Do I repulse you with my queasy smile? Am I too dirty? Am I too flirty? Do I like what you like? Yeah, I could be wholesome, I could be loathsome, guess I'm a little bit shy. Why don't you like me? Why don't you like me without making me try? I try to be like Grace Kelly, but all her looks were too sad. So I tried a little Freddy. I've got an entity mind.
Here are 20 quiz questions with multiple choice answers. The correct answers will appear at the end of the programme. Question 1. Which famous sports personality was born in Paignton? A. Tom Daley. B. Sue Barker. Or C, Bradley Wiggins. 2. How many pairs of ribs do humans have? A. 12. B. 6. Or C. 10. 3. Which Yorkshireman described himself as 50% actor, 50% explorer? A. Sean Connery. B. Brian Blessed. Or C. Michael Caine. 4. Which sea creature has 3 hearts? A. An octopus. B. A jellyfish. Or C. A whale. 5. In nautical terms, what is the opposite of port? A. Bow. B. Stern. Or C. Starboard. 6. In what year did the Eurostar train service between Britain and France start running? A. 1994. B. 2004. Or C. 2020. 7. What is sushi traditionally wrapped in? A. Rice. B. Cabbage. Or C. Dried seaweed. 8. Who was Fanny Price? A. A Jane Austen character. B. A Charles Dickens character. Or C. William Shakespeare's wife. 9. This footwear, invented in 1815, enables the wearer to move very quickly over smooth, flat ground. A. Clogs. B. Wellingtons. Or C. Roller skates. 10. How many American cents make up a dime? A. 5. B. 10. Or C. 15. 11. In which year did Britain start using the decimal currency? A. 1952. B. 1960. Or C. 1971. 12. Who was the very first female member of Parliament in Britain? A. Nancy Astor. B. Margaret Thatcher. Or C. Barbara Castle. 13. Which language has the most native speakers in the world? A. English. B. Mandarin. Or C. Spanish. 14. What is a group of crows called? A. A murder. B. A parliament. Or C. A gaggle. 15. Baku is the capital city of which country? A. Tunisia. B. Azerbaijan. Or C. Algeria. 16. Duck and dive is a bingo call out for which of the following numbers? A. 25. B. 35. Or C. 45. 17. Halki Diki, Manzanilla, and Nocellara are types of A. Olives. B. Cheeses. or C, dips. 18. Old man's beard and traveller's joys are names for a variety of which flower? A, iris. B, clematis. Or C, orchid. 19. Ottery St. Mary was the birthplace of which Romantic poet in 1772? A, William Wordsworth. B, Robert Southey. Or C, Samuel Taylor Coleridge. 20. Born into a wealthy family in Torquay, by what name is Lady Mallowan better known? A, Agatha Christie. B, Daphne du Maurier. Or C, Dorothy Sayers. We'll come back to the answers at the end of the programme.
This is Valerie, and I just thought this was a sweet little poem. A Polish legend tells the tale of tiny kittens, oh so frail. Along the river's edge they chased, with butterflies they played and raced. They came too close to the river's side, and thus fell in. Their mother cried. What could she do but weep and moan? Her baby's fate were yet unknown. The willows by the river knew just what it was that they must do. They swept their graceful branches down into the waters all around. To reach the kittens was their goal, a rescue mission, heart and soul. The kittens grasped the branches tight. The willows saved them from their plight. Each springtime since, the story goes, willow branches now wear clothes. Tiny fur-like buds are sprung where little kittens once had clung. And that's the legend, so they claim, how pussy willows got their name. Bye.
Let's find out from Mary MacDonald and Stephen Taylor about the book that they have been reading recently.
Hello, listener. This month, Stephen and I have been looking at Lucy Worsley's book, Agatha Christie, and the blurb suggests that it's a brilliant woman writing the book about another brilliant woman, and Agatha Christie, in my book, is brilliant anyway. But it was a super way of looking at her life, looking at her writings, looking at all the rumours and stories that have gone on about her. A lot of the things that we know are true, a lot of the things that are developed by newspaper men and rumour, but it was truly fascinating. Seemed a lot there, but it was all linking in and all smooth and fascinating.
Well, yeah, I mean, she had a very long life and she was a really major commercial writer for most of it, right the way through. She was still selling millions and millions of copies into her old age. And she had several plays running in the West End. There are two currently running in the West End. I went to see one a few weeks ago. It was called Witness for the Prosecution. And it's been running since 2016. Continually, apart from the lockdown, and I was utterly gripped right from the start. You know, my attention did not waver. She is an extraordinary writer, and I don't think we probably admire her or give her the credit we should. And of course, she's very local to here as well, so much of her life
story
took place in Devon around Torquay and the areas very close to here. And you know, we know all about her books because they're dramatized all the time. They're radio productions and television productions and films. But do we know that much about her? Because she's quite a modest person. She lived quietly. She shunned the limelight as much as she could. And she was fascinating.
But yes, you say she shunned the limelight, and to all intents and purposes, she wanted to be the quiet, home-loving lady, a lady of leisure in a way. But her leisure was fabulous. When you look at her younger years, the travelling she did, often on her own, to places that normal middle-aged women would never dream of doing, and surfboarding in the Bahamas or whatever it was. How amazing is that? It takes some young women years now to get into doing that. And there she was, off doing it, living the high life, really, really enjoying her young years. So shy and retiring she wasn't, but it was a facade she cultivated to protect herself, I think, from rumour and from over-publicity, which always comes to popular personalities.
Yeah, she didn't want to be a celebrity, but that doesn't mean she lacked confidence as a person. By no means. I mean, there are two wars, two world wars, and she was a nurse in both of them, and she had two marriages, one to a sort of very glamorous man who she rather married in a bit of a rush at the beginning of the First World War, shouldn't really have got married to him. And then her long marriage to this man who was 14 years younger than her.
I believe so, yes.
And he's a terrific figure in his own right. He was a really significant archaeologist of the 20th century. And, you know, they lived, both of them, separately, got knighthoods, damehoods, and so on. They're a remarkable couple as well.
But his work, she played such a huge part in his work, albeit financially too. She manoeuvred things so that the digs he wanted to go on, he had the funds to do it.
What I don't think is mentioned in the book, which is something I've become aware of through other reading, is that the work that Max Mallow and her husband did was, you know, of absolute crucial importance in our understanding of world history. Because he was digging in Mesopotamia, which is the sort of cradle of civilization. That's where cities first evolved, where the agricultural revolution happened, where they first wrote things down, where they first did pottery. I mean, it is. And he did all the carbon dating. He was a really important figure. And as you say, she facilitated that, accompanied him,
and did a lot of the paperwork for him.
And the photography.
Yeah, and small work, detailed work, she did that, which fitted in with the image of the little woman doing the fine stuff. But they were a team, and they were a team for all their time together. And fantastic
book. It was a very long marriage, and it's well worth reading. It's a very long book. This is the definitive biography. It's a good 500-600 pages. It'll take you hours to listen to it, but Lucy Worsley herself reads it very entertainingly, with enormous gusto and enthusiasm. She's a very accomplished reader. I'd certainly recommend it.
Mary and Stephen have just reviewed the book Agatha Christie by Lucy Worsley. This book is available in hardcover, paperback, and as a downloadable audiobook. In what would have been a regular slot for a letter from a dog walker, we have instead a tribute to her.
Hello, my name's Jenny Jenkins, and I'm just one of Aileen's many friends. It was with the greatest shock and sadness that we heard recently of the passing of our dearest friend Aileen. We shall all miss her so very much. But again, we all have our own special memories of Aileen, linked so closely with Jonathan, of course. I go back to the first conception of an idea by Valerie Forrester to restart talking newspapers for local people with visual impairment or other needs, and she was asking for volunteers for readers. It was at the first meeting in Dawlish that I first met Jonathan and Aileen. Some people were selected by them to read the weekly news and formed into teams. Some others of us were asked to contribute original ideas along with Jonathan, creating the monthly magazine Roundabout. Many of you will know Aileen as the dog walker, with her monthly stories, originally with their dog Belle, and later joined them with Honey Bear. Last year I recorded an interview with Aileen, and we learned a little more about the person behind the voice. Did you know she was a Scottish lassie? Born in Renfrew, and she and her older sister Marjorie grew up there until she was 10, and they moved south to be near where her father then worked as an aeronautical engineer for BEA at Heathrow. And did you also know that Aileen was an accomplished artist, as some of you will have seen from their home, Rainbow's End? Aileen studied shorthand and typing at Chiswick College and then finding employment with a French company. She enjoyed this as all the staff spoke French, but Aileen didn't have to as all their clients were English. She told me that in 1964 she saw an article in Woman's Own magazine, do you remember that, about au pair girls in France. So she applied for a job and found herself living with a family near Monte Carlo in charge of a small boy. She stayed here for about 20 months. But at the age of 20, she came back home and decided she wanted to be an air hostess. Sadly, she was too short, but she did become a ground hostess for a year at Heathrow. Then she moved on to a job on the ticket desk. This was much more difficult, but thanks to her arithmetic skills, it wasn't a problem in that department. Aileen also had an interest in puppets and bought three large Pelham puppets, as used by ventriloquists, eventually ending up with about 30. These were used for Christmas entertainments for their colleagues at work. One day she was out for a horse ride near Windsor when she had a fall and ended up in hospital. Who should come along to visit her but Jonathan, who she knew as he also worked at Heathrow. And she said, with a gift of a bunch of rather floppy flowers and a Gideon Bible. He'd been waiting at the riding school because he was booked to ride her horse after she came back. She said he was the funniest man she had ever known. And they were subsequently married in Sunbury in 1972. Jonathan retired at 60, having also been a radio presenter and writer in Chertsey on Radio Way. And he really missed his broadcasting. So in 2010, they decided to move to Devon, as he had happy childhood memories here. Oh, and they also enjoyed travelling. In 2015, Here and Now Talking Newspaper was born. Aileen was part of the Roundabout Purple team and then started her Letter from a Dog Walker articles. They also shared their love of puppets together, and they wrote scripts, made all the costumes and props, performing puppet shows down here with help from Marjorie if she was around on holiday. Jonathan was producing and broadcasting till the end of his life in 2018. Aileen told me she found the writing of her monthly stories with Honey Bear gave her a comforting feeling of continuity with Jonathan. She had a seat installed by the pier, inscribed with her tribute to Marjorie and Jonathan, which we can all enjoy. And just to finish, by the way, her choice of music to end her interview was Bridge Over Troubled Water, which she had always loved. Thank you.
We now have Norma Orty with her story entitled The University of Life. Norma had written this story many years ago when she and her husband were living in South Africa, and this story was published in a local magazine there.
The University of Life. I count myself very fortunate to have a very lively-minded sister. Her effervescent nature is tempered by her husband, who is a solidly reliable person, also a teacher. She lives in England and is the head of a middle school, which is housed in the Reigate Priory. Parts of the walls and foundations date back to 1235, so my sister not only administers the school, but she is also responsible for a historic building. As each of our five sons has completed their army service, they have gone to England, to what we refer to as the University of Life. They have lived with Jilly and Dave, and between them, over the last 5 years, the boys have had many jobs. Gardener, van driver, navvy, caddy, hospital kitchen assistant, and worker in an electroplating works, supermarket assistant, deli assistant, where the owner was amazed that he doesn't know his cheeses. South Africa had a limited amount at that time. The current adventurer has washed cars by hand through the winter, but lost his job when, after a week without rain, a drought was declared and car washing banned. When each boy earned enough money after paying for their keep, they backpacked as far as Turkey, meeting so many different people and having experiences that we'll never hear about. They have variously learned to ski, climb Snowdon, and helped with school camp, experienced rock climbing, scuba diving, rock concerts, played soccer, and watched first-class soccer instead of listening on the BBC Overseas Service. They have all returned with long hair and a positive attitude about their future studies. Apart from the soccer, of course, it was Jilly who introduced them to the above experiences. No wonder she never had time to write us a letter. If this article is printed, I shall be proud to send her a copy. Thank you for all that you have contributed to the University of Life.
Valerie is back with an article.
This is an article from the Sheldon Parish News, and it's about the Sheldon Wildlife Trust. We are lucky enough that we have a number of babies born at the zoo every year, many of them being rare and endangered species, and part of European breeding programmes. With these births come the important role of naming them. We have several ways that we choose names for our animals. Some of our groups of animals all have the same letter for the start of their names. Our Provost's squirrels are called Nina and Nelson. The pygmy, Slow Loris, are called Nessie and Nocky. Some of the animals are named after well-known TV programmes. The meerkats are called Chesney, Kirk, Tyrone and Bet from Coronation Street. And the ring-tailed lemurs are called Ricky, Sally, Bianca and Denny from EastEnders. Over the last couple of years, we have welcomed the Binturongs to the zoo. The male, Orson, came from Colchester Zoo. His name is French for bear. As many of you who have seen the Binturongs will know, they are also known as Bearcat, due to how they look. So when the female arrived from Singapore last year, we had to find a name for her. Animals are typically named at the zoo where they are born, but sometimes animals' names are changed when they move zoos. Believe it or not, though, due to having so many Binturongs, our new female was just called B6. Not the most fitting name for our beautiful new lady. So the staff at Sheldon put in their suggestions and then narrowed it down in an excited conversation, ruling out names until just one remained. She was thereafter named Cass. Cass is Ethiopian for cat, and also Cassandra means she who entangles men. Hopefully, this will be true in the future with Orson. Next up is naming the Margay kitten. This is being open to the public through our social media. You might be able to help choose the name of our first female kitten. Her brothers were called Sammy and Kai. We're excited to see what suggestions are put forward. Bye for now. Valerie.
Here is an amusing article read by Fran Frank.
Hello. Here's a short article from one of the national newspapers, which just made me smile. Toilet stolen, and police have nothing to go on. It's a real-life whodunit. Police are investigating after 35 portable toilets were stolen from a racetrack in Herefordshire. The toilets, some of which were full, were stolen from Ludlow Autograss Club in Pencombe, Herefordshire. The units, which are owned by Three Counties Toilet Hire, are said to be worth around £1,000 each. Owner Neil Griffiths told the BBC, "We are devastated. I mean, who on earth steals toilets? I'm slightly baffled by it all. The toilets are not easy to move about, and some of them were still full. So the thieves took full toilets. It's everything else that we put inside them as well, like sanitising units. Everything is gone." Mr. Griffiths said, "Whoever is responsible for the theft must have made several trips to have been able to remove them all from the site." West Mercia Police said, "It is investigating." I wonder who needed that many toilets.
That certainly gives a new meaning to the phrase, desperate for the toilet. Here is David Picton with a poem that he has written.
Time tells tall tales. Time tells tall tales as, with each moment, memory is taxed. Looking back, time has a tendency to tamper, to both enrich and distort those things we believe to be true. And in a way, they are. They are our truths, which we seek to recount with honesty, although with each returning, they may be further embellished without our knowing or intention, wandering until origin is lost. Trickster time has a way of shuffle-footing changes that we might swear this was the way it happened, yet not be sure of certainty. Be hopeful that time looks on kindly and chooses smiling remembrances while veiling those that might weigh so heavy as to stoop shoulders and cast downward eyes that would be better raised in search of stars.
We now have Ninon Jerome with a story.
So I've imagined this as an agent talking to an actor, a client of his, and being the bearer of some bad news and trying to make up some good news to keep the client happy. So I've written this as a form of a dialogue. Carl is on the line for you. Oh dear. You said you had to speak to him. I did, but get it over with anyway. I've told him you're free. Okay, put him through. Bring me a strong coffee. Wilco, putting you through now, Carl. Carl, how are you? How was it in LA? Carl, found it a big, smog-filled sprawl surrounded by endless highways. I thought I had been booked to stay at the Chateau Marmont. Agent. Ah, yes, budgets, you know. How was the Holiday Inn? Carl. Awful. Made up for it, though, with the minibar. Agent. So I see. You must have had that fridge constantly restocked. Now, darling, how were the meetings? Carl. Okay, I suppose. Some cancelled in the end. I had 5 meetings. Agent. But not just any meetings. One was with Spielberg. Carl. It was, yes. He had to leave after 5 minutes, and I spent the remaining 25 with his assistant. Agent. Still. assistants can have a lot of sway, and they say first impressions are the most important. Carl. Well, did Spielberg call, or any of them? Agent. No, not yet. I did ask you to call me, though. I've some good news and some bad news. Oh, yes. Agent. I'll get the bad news over first. The producers of Hospital have decided, sadly, not to renew your contract. Carl. What? But I've been playing Callahan, the only one-armed brain surgeon in the business, for years. Darling, I know, and superbly too, but the lobbyists have complained and demand a real disabled actor to play the role. Carl, but that's preposterous. What has happened to acting these days? What are they going to do? Well, they're writing In a Fire in the Hospital. You lose your way in the smoke and end up in a storeroom instead of the exit. So you are rescued, but badly burnt. And after extensive plastic surgery, you return to work, but as a different actor. So then they have a real disabled actor taking over the role. Carl, the fans won't stand for it. I am loved in that role. Darling, I told them that, but they said no one is bigger than the show and that they must keep up with the times. So what's the good news then? Now that's the spirit. You've been offered a role on the newly revamped Shetland. Just think, a trip to the land of whiskey and oddly patterned jumpers. What could be better? L.A.? Well, what is the role? Not the lead, I'm afraid. Douglas Henschel has been replaced by Ashley Jensen, so the role they would like to offer you, without a self-tape even, is that of the Laird of Argyle. The Laird, eh? Sounds interesting. Tell me more. Well, so he is the murder victim. There's a short scene in flashback, the attack, and lying on the mortuary slab. Three scenes in all. How many lines? Well, if you count the... and help, 15. 15? But I have secured agreement for someone to play you on the mortuary slab. You look fabulous. It pays brilliantly. How do I die? Pushed off a cliff, love. They've done it before, but there's only so many ways you can kill someone on Shetland, and no one, I say no one, dies like you. On screen. Of course. I can see it now. A desperate scrabble. A fight with the murderer. A final slip and a scream which goes on and on, echoing round the island. Plus Free Barber and Hunter Wellies. You'll do it? Name above the title. But guest appearance much better, as it's the last name seen on the titles. Okay.
Here are the answers to the 20 quiz questions. 1. Which famous sports personality was born in Paignton? The answer is B. Sue Barker. 2. How many pairs of ribs do humans have? The answer is A. 12. 3. Which Yorkshireman described himself as 50% actor, 50% explorer? The answer is B. Brian Blessed. Well, Sean Connery was Scottish, and Michael Caine, a true London Cockney. 4. Which sea creature has three hearts? The answer is A. an octopus. 5. In nautical terms, what is the opposite of port? The answer is C, starboard. 6. In what year did the Eurostar train service between Britain and France start running? A, 1994. That's the correct answer. 7. What is sushi traditionally wrapped in? The answer is C, dried seaweed. 8. Who was Fanny Price? The answer is A, a Jane Austen character. She was the main character in Mansfield Park. 9. This footwear, invented in 1815, enables the wearer to move very quickly over smooth, flat ground. The answer is C, roller skates. 10. How many American cents make up a dime? The answer is B, 10. 11. In which year did Britain start using the decimal currency? The answer is C, 1971. 12. Who was the very first female member of parliament in Britain? The answer is A, Nancy Astor. 13. Which language has the most native speakers in the world? The answer is B, Mandarin. 14. What is a group of crows called? The answer is A, a murder. 15. Baku is the capital city of which country? The answer is B, Azerbaijan. 16. Duck and dive is a bingo call-out for which of the following numbers? The answer is A, 25. 17. Halkidiki, manzanilla and nocellara are types of? The answer is A, olives. 18. Old man's beard and traveller's joy are names for a variety of which flower? The answer is B, clematis. 19. Ottery St. Mary was the birthplace of which romantic poet in 1772? The answer is C, Samuel Taylor Coleridge. 20. Born into a wealthy family in Torquay, by what name is Lady Mallowan better known? The answer is A, Agatha Christie. Well, that comes to the end of our quiz. I hope you got 20 out of 20, if not, close to 20 out of 20. Last month, we requested your feedback on a recipe that was read out in the programme, as we had never read out a recipe to you before, as well as feedback on any other feature of the programme. We were so pleased to receive a couple of notes from you in the wallets. Thank you. Your feedback is much appreciated and helps us adapt the programme accordingly. We conclude the programme with a shorter version of George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue. Shorter version being 8 minutes, as opposed to an hour. It is the 100th anniversary of its first performance. The following piece of music is performed by Paul Whiteman and his concert orchestra.
Thank you.
thanks go to John Townsend and his guest Lucy Barillon, Valerie Forrester, Mary MacDonald, Stephen Taylor, Jenny Jenkins, Norma Orty, Fran Frank, David Picton, and Ninon Jerome. Thanks also to Diana Coulson and Margaret Reynolds for copying and dispatching the USB sticks, and to Sarah Williams for uploading the programme to our website. The programme was compiled and produced by Camilla Taylor and edited by Stephen Taylor and Mike Smith.